your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Our chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Anat Amani is with me this evening, and now next, that short interview with Anat Amani.
What specifically? I mean, I have lots of ideas about the financial system. For example, it's a dangerous world. Let's just say.
Yeah, it is. Some of this foreign policy that they're putting out is sort of jumbled. It seems like.
Well, there's all kinds of things happening. You can't keep up with them, but. Most of them are not very good, so it's kind of concerning.
Yeah, it is. I know we talked about the money system the other day, a while back. And do you see any, what's your crystal ball for the future as far as the dollar goes, or any really, fall or crash or whatever?
Yeah, the exchange rates. Yeah, I don't. You know, the monetary system and exchange rates are kind of. I don't go there in terms of trying to unpack that and forecast that. So
okay.
I don't really feel comfortable making a statement on that, but. You know, in terms of just risk and the fragility of the system, you know, I feel that it's not, it is very opaque and very fragile. And so, you know, it can kick a lot of cans down the road, but then at some point, you know, something would happen. I don't know where it would come from. I'm concerned about cybersecurity, for example. I think there's probably more there that we may not know about,
right?
That people don't even want us to know about.
Okay.
So I don't, you know. Again, it's what you don't know that you
right,
worry about.
Right. You know. Yeah. That's,
and so, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I think that you know, we may wake up one morning and you know there's a you know a panic and something's you know we're kind of oh we didn't see this coming you know.
Right.
Or it will build up over a while, but, you know, there's a lot of flags about, you know, the world becoming, you know, there's more unpredictability.
Right. Now, the debt is still out there, and it's gotten worse, is it not?
What are you saying?
The debt out there, the world debt.
Yeah, no, that's
it's gotten increasingly worse.
We have all... Yeah. You know, we've made people and
right.
They've become addicted to basically debt-fueled growth, and that is not very reliable because it's kind of, you know, it's borrowing from the future, and the future might not bring enough to pay back. And
right,
so,
enough growth. You need growth to pay back debt.
Deal
yeah.
with that.
Right.
And so there's just the overhangs overall are huge.
You know, the last couple of years at Davos, nobody talked about the debt that much, you know?
Well, because, you know, and I don't go there anymore. The last couple of years I didn't go because,
right.
You know, it's just not my place. I mean, it's filled with people who don't want to talk about it. So even, you know, even this year they're like always, it's the set of people who go there and they have a certain perspective on the world and a certain... You know, their own.
It's sort of institutionalized. It's institutionalized people, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think basically when you start, I mean, I've written just now finished an essay on political economy of corporations, and you know, Davos is obviously a place where policymakers and you know the heads of corporations kind of come together. And
yeah, they rub shoulders, you know, and make do feel goody good.
They kind of, you know, they kind of collude, and then you know they kind of make bargains. So
right, make deals with each other, right? Yeah.
And, yeah, and so it, so the question is, you know, when you have that kind of world where, you know, there are lots and lots of governments, you know, at all levels, national and local, and then there's lots and lots of corporations, and, you know, do you sort of get go up to 30,000 feet and look at that, and that is a world of sort of, you know, various bargains for the people at the top of various institutions, governments and corporations, and they... You know, sort of, it's not an efficient system that way because, you know, there isn't good governance, including in the government itself. So because citizens don't, you know, don't completely understand some of the issues, and it's easy to confuse them.
Right.
So I think what happens is you end up with the kinds of things we see, which is, you know, sort of public anger at institutions that they think something's wrong, but they don't quite know what.
Yes, they have a gut feeling, but they don't. They can't really explain it in detail.
Exactly, and that's the worst because now you get into a situation where you know manipulative, you know, authoritarian figures like
yes.
Donald Trump can take advantage of that.
I see.
And play with you know various angers and fears and direct them in directions that. Are you know away from these corporations and in fact just utter all these things about how we need to you know reduce regulation and this and this and this as if markets become competitive and free of fraud by themselves. And so it's like this whole notion of you know get the government out. This government is there anyway because there must be rules of the game. I mean we're not in
right.
You know, warlord here. In other words, you know, who sets the rules and who enforces the rules? And, you know, as you look more into that, it doesn't look pretty down in the level of, you know, the rules and
well,
who
you know,
they work for.
Yeah, Tiglitz,
and all of that. In other words, it's no longer as, you know, you start losing trust. Today, I mean, I'm teaching a class on the politics of finance, and
right.
Today we happen to have a whistleblower speak to my class, and that was at the level I've never actually had. This is somebody who worked for Deutsche Bank. I mean, the story is now public, so it's, and only because he went to the media that it even got any movement at all. And even then, really, the responsible people for total lying, fraud by Deutsche Bank, you know, nothing really happened to them.
Right.
You know, there was a sign on the shareholders, and, you know, they were kind of the victims, and the executives. We're not. So then you just have a revolving door with the SEC that he was describing, and that's down at the level of the law. After the law is in place, when you get to bad laws or bad regulations, you know, it gets even worse.
Right. Yeah, they usually just scapegoat people at the lower level, don't they?
Yes, and so everybody, yeah. You know, they you know, it's not that they scapegoat, they kind of intimidate. I mean, people don't want to speak up. I mean, you know, if you look at corporate fraud,
right.
It's hard to get that even out into the world because the people within the corporations, they just don't have incentives to say anything.
I interviewed Bradley Birkenfeld the other day that broke the secret bank account deal with Union Bank of Switzerland a few weeks ago. That was sort of interesting, you know.
Yeah.
But it finally came down to we concluded, both of us, you know, that they'll – you know, they may have closed down some of the secrecy bank accounts in Switzerland, but they'll go to Hong Kong or somewhere else, see? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's always a bank out there that will open up an account for somebody.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you know, the U.S. is a big haven for hidden wealth. It's amazing.
Right.
Because in the U.S., you can be an anonymous corporation in Delaware. And, you know, Delaware can...
Oh, that's
you know,
right. A lot of our corporations are in Delaware, aren't
hundreds
they?
Hundreds of thousands
yeah.
of them,
yeah.
You know, and they can buy property and there's no name behind them. They can be subsidiaries
right.
That are just creating these chains of opacity, and then you can't ever renegotiate anything because you never know who's who. And
right,
or
right.
There's this individual to hide wealth. So it's
right.
like, and then, you know, who benefits from that? You're just basically lawyers in the state of Delaware. And then there's a complete law evasion that
right,
goes on
right.
down at all these levels. So, you know, the more you look, the more you know that something's kind of gotten out of control.
It is out of control. And it's a matter of time. This debt is increased. It's a matter of time before it collapses in some way. I don't know how, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, by the time you have you have very, very big opacity in sort of a financial system, just lots of layers, that's when you get, like, you know, everybody's rushing off and panicking, and you know, the whole thing kind of unravels. And I don't know what that would leave in its you know.
Well, there was a currency crisis over in the Far East. Remember that? And and nobody saw that coming, and that really did a lot of damage to some of these companies.
Yeah, so I think that you can have all kinds of things happening, and I think then, you know, it would be like uncharted territory again. You know, it happens this way and that way. Anyway, so I think it's a scary world because of all the things we don't see, because there's so many ways to hide things.
Right, right.
To me, that's the worst. And then, of course, you know, even what you see is like way too much debt from what you can even see, and possibly more risk or more debt that you don't see.
And our obligations here are just horrendous, you know.
Yep.
So anyway, we can't. Well, that's a good. Analysis of it. I appreciate the interview.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Just send me email if you know do anything.
I'll do it.
Write anything.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.